This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacoda and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voice. In this episode, we speak with Mrs. Mary Ahern of Ballyferrode. Childbirth is always a dramatic time in a woman's life, and most births from the past happened at home, unlike today. Mrs. Ahern speaks to us about when she was born and the dramatic story of her birth.
She was in labour for a while and the nurse was coming. And the nurse, when she came, she gave her some whiskey to drink, a small drop. My mother wouldn't touch it at all. And she had to go drop herself and lay down outside my mother and fell asleep. And my mother couldn't have her baby anyway. She got into the difficulties.
And the nurse fell asleep next to your mum.
Well, that was very common with her, the same nurse. She'd do it for everyone. And my father had to go out and call in Mikey Hyde, children out of the school, to catch the horse and to go as far as the sisters in Galifore to get another fresh horse, a livelier horse, to go to Klein for the doctor. And the doctor was sick, and the doctor, the girl came in, a child came down, saying the father was sick, that he was in bed, the doctor. And my father ran upstairs with excitement, begging him to come over. And he would, he'd bring out £5, that was a point of money at that time. And my father said he'd give him the £5, and he was just in time to deliver me. And he'd always, if he said it to him, ma'am, at a dead years old, you had a mammy. And I was only 39. He'd hate to stay 40 for the mattress.
Electricity changed people's lives when it was introduced by the government, and the rural electrification policy connected in excess of 420,000 customers in Ireland between 1946 and as late as 1979. The rural electrification scheme has been described as the quiet revolution because of the major socio-economic change it brought about, particularly to the lives of women in rural Ireland. Not everyone embraced electricity as a positive thing, and some had to be convinced of its merits. Mrs. Ahern tells us what their impressions were when the lights were first switched on in homes in the area.
People didn't want, but a few ages, priests were going around bringing people to take it. People were afraid they wouldn't be able to pay for it. We were at the end of the line then, and we'd have, when Wayne's had been making the cows, we wouldn't have any power here. We couldn't build the few cows we had. They had a lot more than we had. Until they'd be finished, maybe half an hour before we'd have enough power. And we had a cooker here with no back kitchen and couldn't go. We couldn't bake it if the Hennessys were using it. So after it took another year before that was sorted out.
And it must have changed your life, I suppose, you know,
oh,
once the electricity...
Oh, listen, when we put on the light and saw all the cobwebs in a white rough wall and the dust on the walls, we didn't think it was half as bad. We had no bathroom and charges were so scarce. And when my sister went in the convent then, when she'd bring her sister with her, we should hit a dry ground down to school. Yeah, and she'd go down there where there was a dry toilet. The nun with her, you know. My father bring gravel and things, but the pet would be dried off going down for her. So after that, we put a toilet outside the back door. I remember someone came here from Dublin, they brought 4-U-T-P. You know, they'd be out after the trash, and they'd say, 4-U-T, you know, 2-P. But I met a man from England last year in Knockadoon, I remember being at your house and a toilet with you outside the door.
Such a novelty.
Out in the air, yeah. And just looking at it.
There were no boys in the family, and she speaks fondly about her late sister entering religious life and travelling to London, Australia and New Zealand before returning home. She tells us about herself toying with the idea of entering the convent.
She was 22 when she went. She thought she wanted to be in a nun. She was only a short while before she died. She said to me, they asked her confession if she was young again, some priest. Only with the last couple of years before she died, would she be allowed to be in a nun again? And she said, she'd think more over it. So up to then, she's a great vocation, which is why I was praying. And she'd one night, and the bunt, she'd gone her two knees there for a whole hour, making the holy hour before she got to bed.
She was in London all her life, or did she come back to
Ireland? Oh, no, she was very short time. She was moved to New Zealand, and she was moved to Australia first. And then an Irvine girl went out with, after that, about 2 months after. And when they got into Australia then, Melbourne, there was a bishop there, Mannix, and he came into Cove years ago. There was some troubles in Ireland. You might have heard about Bishop Mannix. And the Natter sisters put him up, so they gave him, he gave these sisters, he was in America that time, he gave these sisters a great welcome, and they were on television in Australia. So that was a very big thing that time.
Did she come home at all, or did she stay?
Oh, she did. She came home a good few times, and she was in England for a while until she went to London back again, and she came home to Ireland to leave her bones in Ireland, and she was in Donegal for years. And she joined Nazareth House in Mara. She came down there for 4 days.
You never wanted to join the convent or anything? It wouldn't have
been. Oh, I had no idea going to the convent one time. It was a mess in Benricorda. And I saw the Lord and said, I wanted the Lord at his home dressed up in a nice young girl. Lovely black uniform, I suppose. And they all kissed her. And I was in confession. And I said, just Father Philip at the time, but I was so young, I'd love to be a nun. And he said, oh, that's grand. He says, Mary to me. So I didn't know he knew me at all. He was the curate. And he said, I'll ask the nuns in Fermoy, I'm sure they'd be delighted with a girl to join. Oh, so to me, Sir Patrick, I said that for during the week. And I left to go in a few months, went to maybe and went to the confession shop with him. Next time he said to me, Mary, I still think of the convent. And I said, I'm not to change my mind again. That's the only vocation I had. My son dressed up and the old kids him.
Mrs. Ahern had a twinkle in her eye when she remembered travelling to dances all over East Cork on her bicycle.
Our dances was the love of our lives. They'd come from everywhere with bicycles, so there was no cars or anything. So you would know everybody from this to Kill and Ballycotton. We saw to Ballycotton and Kill and Yall. There'd be big crowds of boys and girls. You were a great dance and everything. It was really good.
And it was all live music, wasn't it?
It was all live music. The band is all sorts of people playing music. It was great. It was very good music.
And was it expensive to go?
Not at all. Everyone thought it was expensive. The first dance limit was only 6 months. 6 months each to go in. And you had great fun. 6 months each to go in, you'd just have the 6 months. Did they look at the drawer, be if any fellow could afford to give a bottle of lemonade? But I remember one night, there was a nice fellow made a date for me to see me outside the door. And when I went out, there was a fellow here, but I had no one the other. And the boat were after asking me, they were brothers. But I thought it was so funny.
They were both after asking you for
Yeah, they were both after. Sisters, they were all brothers. And I thought, and I said, which Chessmen? And I didn't even know they were brothers. And I suppose I tell the same fella both times, I don't know.
She was one of the very first women in the parish to have a car, getting the car in 1951. Regulations were not as strict then as they are now, and she remembers her mother crashing the car and the lengths they had to go to stop her father from finding out. Mrs. Ahern loved that little car and had many adventures all around the country.
I got a car in 51. Of course, I would have that if I had brothers. We bought the car. And the fellow took him over to teach me to drive. And he was coming for the full 2 weeks. He'd come three. Like, he'd come every day about 12, and he'd go about 4 or 5. But he was taking me up to Cork and places as well, because it was self-driving half the time. He'd want a haircut and things. But after 2 weeks, I got tired of him, and I said, I do know, how far can I go? Well, you can go as far as Cork, and then stay at the railway station. Stay at the railway station, he said, for a while, and you'll be all right and do this. Well, he was very careful, and I never had an accident, thank God. But anyway, I was only 2 or 3 weeks driving, when my poor mother said, take me up for a drive. And I afraid my life. I said, sure, I can have a drive myself. And it's my new car now. And we went over the road and round Hindesley's corner, you know, the bed corner. We called it Jolly's Cross that time, around there. My poor mother didn't turn the car right, and she went up in the ditch across the road and put down and put up speed and dragged it along the ditch and drew half the mud get off it. And then John DeLay came along, he was in blood for us. And he came along and said, Mary, oh God, Mr. God, go home quick. So he took us home anyway. And we went to tell my father, talk, and what do you think? I had to go to visiting the boys and tell Joe Hall, because he was the salesman for Labradatis. And he came up for him the morning, wouldn't you think? My father was purposely got home early, and he was watching me. We always go to the village this way, but that's the car that was broken. And he went up the road with the car, and he said, why aren't you going the other way? And we were shivering, shaking. I know, it cost a good bit to fix it, of course. In that much light, no, but it was only 3 or 4 weeks old.
Oh, my.
A new car, yeah. We got a new wing in it. Imagine giving me a new car, and I was so young and half the country was excited. And I met a fellow who did know Rottenberg, and he said, I remember you coming to the bridge years ago, and there'd be fellows come out, girls and boys come out for 10 minutes. I'd about 7 minutes later with myself, packed up on top of each other. They went to board the boat since that time.
Did you have your own driving licence? Did you have to sit for
it? You didn't have to sit for nothing, once you had the money to buy it. There wasn't a word about driving license, nothing.
And how old were you when you were driving?
Comprehensive insurance at the time. The most expensive was £25 on that. And petrol was only about, I think, 1 and 6 months. That was a little under £1.99 or something. It's very cheap.
I'd like to thank Mrs. Ahern for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing some of her stories and her memories. Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio Youghal production.